Om Shanti. Today we have Brother Ramesh with us to share his experiences on the aspect how to become an heir soul, because he being a very powerful heir soul, a beloved child of Baba since the Sakar days, he has a lot of treasures within to share with all of us. And he is one of the main pillars of this Yajna, taking care of the financial aspects of Baba's Yajna. Born and brought up in Mumbai, he has taken a lot of sustenance and guidance from Sakar Baba and Mama. Baba and Mama used to stay in his place when they visited Mumbai. So we would like to hear from Brother Ramesh the hidden treasures within.
Om Shanti and good morning. Just now sister referred to those good old days of Baba and Mama, and I had the fortune of having Mama at my residence. We stayed together, that means for 18 months, not for one or few years. I think most of you have not seen even Mama. Is there anybody who has seen Mama in the corporeal form? And we had that good fortune, and because of those 18 months, we got very good training of how to become a real heir of Baba. Because mother is the first teacher and the best teacher. And so his mother, as a best teacher, she gave us this guidance of how to handle the situation, how to organize things and all those things. So Sister Meera has selected this topic, how to be heir. Heir means, you know that when the king dies, what happens then, you see? His crown prince becomes the king. So it's not merely an ordinary person and his child getting inheritance from his father. When we are concerned here, we are concerned here with God the Supreme and His heir, and to organize and administer the new world. That's a big responsibility. I don't know, you know Indian scriptures, but in India there is one scripture, Manusmriti. Means it is written by one Mr. Manu, who was one of those sages, and he has dealt with the how the earth, how the world was created. And you know that in India we believe, in Indian mythology we believe, like Christian mythology also, all other mythologies also believe that the world was created by God, not like this Darwin's theory of evolution. But it was, we believe in creation. So there are two views, creationist and evolutionist. So in this creationist views, you see, I mean, God created this earth, I mean the world, and everybody, even including human beings, also were created. And then he had this question that to whom he should give this administration. You know that as per even Christian mythology also, God created, he took 7 days, 6 days to create this world, and then on the seventh day he took rest. So like that, you see, he wanted to take rest. He did not want to remain in the world. He wanted to remain separate. And it's always like that only. Creation and creator, they are always separate. Till the creation is not separate from the creation, then there is no such creation also. The creator and creation should be always separate. So once the earth and the world was created, then he had the problem to select to whom he should hand over the administration of this world. And as per that scripture, you see, he selected that soul into his body, Narayan. You know, but you all know these two words, at least Lakshmi and Narayan. And the first world emperor is first Lakshmi and Narayan. So the meaning of the word Narayan is Nara plus Ayan, that means, as per that scripture, into whose body, in the previous kalpa, God used to incarnate. He selected that particular soul and he gave administration, handed over administration of that new world to that particular soul into his body. He was incarnating in the previous birth. It's somehow or other, it is one of the 100% reproduction of what we believe in this divine family. We also believe that, you see, Brahma Baba, he was the instrument soul, and into his body, Sri Baba used to incarnate, right from 1937 to 69, January 18th. And then also, so he handed over administration of this new world to him, and then he retired. Once I had a talk with Abhyakta Bab Dada, and I told Baba that, oh, you are taking a very long vacation. You create this world at the end of the cycle, and then you are transforming this old into the new. And then what happens? Sri Baba takes a big long vacation of 2,500 years. For 2,500 years he takes rest in that soul world, and leaves this new world entirely into the hands of we, the children. And then also from the beginning of Copper Age, he starts doing some work, giving divine glimpses and all those things, you see. And then ultimately he comes down in the Confluence Age. So he takes such a long vacation. So this is how I just told jokingly to Baba also, that Baba, you are taking a very long vacation. So Baba said that, yes, because I am handing it over to you. Do you want me to come there and again start preaching this knowledge? And do you want Baba to be there, you see, and start preaching knowledge of, oh, children, come on, get up at 4 o'clock, do this, do that, all those sermons, you see, which we are receiving at the moment in this confluence age. So Baba has selected that soul, and this is, look, practically also how wonderful this Baba has created and creating this new cycle also, and giving experience of administration of the new world also. Why Brahma Baba became Avyakta in 69? Because he wanted to give him full training of how to administer the new world. And therefore, right from 69 till he takes birth, Brahma Baba takes corporeal birth as a Krishna and then in Narayan form. Till that time he is having a full training from Sri Baba. It's a big challenge. Remember one thing, that the difference between Sri Baba and all those other preceptors, for example, Christ, Moses, or Buddha, and all other founders of different religion. Now we have been told by Baba, and it is logical also, that those preceptors who come down on this earth from the soul world, they not only they establish their religion, but they take birth and rebirth again and again to sustain that particular religion that has been established by him. So Christ, Buddha, or all those, you see, souls, you see, who incarnated in the beginning, at their respective times, Baba has said that, you see, they are here. And if you look at the history, I don't know whether you have read the history of different religions. I had the good fortune of studying in detail all the 10 important religions of the world. And I find what Baba has said is correct, you see, that, you see, There are two types of people. You see, one who is heir, he has all the authority to modify and do everything in what he has done or what his father or earlier people might have established. But those who are administrators only, that means they are not heirs but only administrators, they do not have right to change the rituals and all those things, modify the principles and practices established by the preceptor. Just to give you an example of Sikh religion, because there this is very clear. I know none of you might be having detailed study of Sikh religion, but in case of Sikh, Guru Nanak, you see, he established this Sikh religion. He was the first preceptor of Sikh religion. He established and he said, yes, it should be. Then his son or he, whatever, whomsoever he has nominated as his heir, will be in charge of that particular religion. So they went on maintaining and administering that particular religion. But then they found that, you see, this is not a correct system, proper system. So the 10th guru or the 10th successor or 10th heir in line, he decided that no more gurudom, no more gurus. Whoever have been so far become those 10 gurus, they are, that is the final, no more. And then he prescribed this Guru Granth Sahib, that means that scripture of that particular religion, and said this is now final, nothing more than that. And he prescribed that, you see, the people must have beard and hair also. You know, Sardarjis, you see, Sikh religion people, you see, they don't have haircut like what we are having, you see, and all those things. So he prescribed all those things. So he had right to modify what the preceptor had done, the founder had done, because the heir apparents, that means those who are taking birth and rebirth, they have right to modify what they have prescribed. And therefore what happens, that they need not have 100% perfect inheritors, successors, because they are going to be there again and again with different bodies to maintain and modify principles prescribed by them. But in case of Sri Baba, Sri Baba has to see that all his heirs, we, his children, you see, who will be in charge of the future world, we have to be 100% perfect. Baba will not be there to guide us. Baba will not be there to modify all those principles and practices which we might be having at the moment established and taught by Sri Baba. So he has to train us fully. We have to be 100% perfect heirs, successors, to administer the new world. And he is giving us that challenge, that we as successors, we as heirs, have to administer this world for 2500 years without any problem. Now, without any problem, no wars, no problems and all those things for 2500 years. It's a big challenge that we have to accept. And he is giving us this full responsibility. So this responsibility vis-a-vis the challenge that we are getting from Sri Baba. And therefore what has happened, that he is giving us full training as the future heirs, future successors. And therefore, what has happened? That he has selected Brahma Baba's soul and giving him full training. Training is means right from 1937, the whole confluence age, Baba and Mamma, they are getting training. Mamma has become member of the advanced party. And so she is in charge and the commander-in-chief of the advanced party. So what has happened, that you see, as its commander-in-chief in the corporeal form of the advanced party, she is in charge, and therefore there also she is getting training and all those things. And here Brahma Baba in that incorporeal form also, in that avyakta form, is also getting training from Sri Baba. And look at the planning of Sri Baba, about we the children also. I don't know whether you remember first Avyakta Murli of 21st of January 69. Have you read it? How many of you have read that first Avyakta Murli of 21st of January 69? If you can, if you don't mind, if you can, those who have read it, please raise your hands. And then those who have not, I will strongly recommend you to read that first Avyakta Murli. Because Brahma, Sri Baba came down into the body of Dadi, Santri Dadi on 19th of January. On 18th, Brahma Baba became Avyakta, on 19th January he came down into the body. And it was a wonderful scene. Brahma Baba's body lying in that box with ice and all those things so that the body does not start decomposing. And Sri Baba in the body of Santri Dadi. And then Baba gave Murli for about 1 hour. And he said that I will be giving all full details of how the institution will work henceforth. And then he said that the moment the cremation is over, you should have assembly of all the students. Let there be a bhog in sweet memory of Brahma Baba. And then he will come down and he will give full instructions, and he has given full instructions on how the things will, how the institution will work. That's 21st January 69 Murli. And there he has said that up till now, the institution, it was, he just gave, he became rather poetic. And he said that up till now, you see, there was sun and the moon. And in that light, from the sun and moon, all the world, this divine family was being governed and managed. Now, Baba wants the stars only. Now the stars, you see, because during the day when there is sun, you don't feel the light coming from the stars. They have their own beauty also. On full moon day also, when you look at the sky at night time, what happens? It's a really a wonderful scene to see all those stars is in the sky. So Baba says that now he wants to see all these stars playing their role of how to administer and manage this institution. He wants to train we the stars, the future legal, future inheritors or heirs of this divine family. And he wants to train us. And literally I tell you, he has been training us. In the beginning, you see, in 69, we had so many questions. And he used to come quite often. If you look at those days where when Sri Baba used to come down, just look at the Avyakta Murlis of 69, 70, 71, 72. And how many times in a year Sri Baba used to come. And now how many times he is coming. Slowly and slowly he is reducing his role. Not only in number of times coming down, but also time spending with us. This time, for example, he is coming for 9 or 10 times. In those good old days, he used to come for 20, 22 times, 20, more than that also. He came down even in the spiritual museum near Nakhi Lake, when he inaugurated the spiritual museum on 16th of May, 69. He came down there, you see. He stayed there for a number of hours there, you see, and gave full instructions about that museum, how it should be conducted, administered, and all those things. So Baba is giving us this training of, and it's not merely that, you see, we become the students of this institution, but he wants, and this is the wonderful part of this Baba. Everywhere else, look at the work of all other gurus, all other masters, that do not train their people as their legal heirs. On the contrary, they just want them to be their disciples only. Otherwise, they know that, you see, if they give full training, then these disciples will start competing with the gurus. How the bifurcation of different religions became, how the sects and groups were formed, that is because only those disciples, you see, they did not agree fully with the views of the master or the teacher or the guru. And therefore they started their own branch from the main religion. But in case of Brahma Baba and Abhi, we are not starting our own branch. We are managing this world as a whole unit. One world religion, one world family, one world divine kingdom and all those things. You know all those attributes of the new world. So this is how Baba is giving us training for the new world. Now it is up to us to accept that training. You know, administration of the world, we in our spark, you see, we are having one subject for research, Golden Age Management. I have been writing articles on this subject, and we are going to have one book also on this subject, Golden Age Management. He is giving us experience and training for all different varieties of management aspect of the Golden Age, principles and practices of administration and management. This training you will not find anywhere else. In good old days, in India, for example, there were two colleges for princes. In India, there were so many small kings and queens. It's unlike British Empire, where there was only one king and queen. Here, there were so many. For example, it was more than 800 small kings, that means small kingdoms. So small princes and there were princes and princesses of the small kingdom. And so there were two colleges, one in Gujarat near Rajkot, and the other one was in Ajmer or somewhere else, you see. So these prince and princesses used to get training of how to be future kings and queens of their own kingdom, how to manage and administer their kingdom. It requires specialized knowledge, specialized training. And unless you get training, not merely theory, but practical also. Can anyone learn swimming by just having theoretical knowledge without going into the sea water or river water? Can you think like that? Can you swim? Can you learn swimming? If you are knowing cycling, then you must sit on this bicycle and then know how to maintain balance and push your bicycle or motor car also. Merely theoretical knowledge will not make you perfect driver of a motor car. Can anyone become perfect driver only by theoretical knowledge without sitting on the driver's seat and without touching that wheel and all those things, you see. Accelerator and all those things, you see. Otherwise one will get confused that you have to use same leg for acceleration and for applying brake. Why two things are there and one role given to one leg, either to apply brakes or to accelerate. To a new one, it will be a confusing thing. I remember when I was sitting in the driver's seat, I asked my tutor all the same question. Then why this one leg is utilized for changing gears and why another leg is for pressing the accelerator or pressing for the brakes? Then he said, you will sit here and you will learn, you will get your answer automatically. So like that, here also, when Baba is asking us to administer the new world, he is giving us practical training that yes, this is how you have to administer the world. And I tell you from my own experience that in the beginning, from 69 onwards, we had so many questions. We had asked this, like that, so many questions. But now, because of the training that we are receiving from Baba, so far, from 69, right up to 2003 and onwards also, we have received so much of training and experience and all those things that now we have hardly a few questions. In those good old days, we used to have many meetings also for deciding many factors, this problem, that problem, and all those things. We used to have so many meetings to discuss various problems and to find out their spiritual solutions. But now we hardly meet. And because so much of work is there, so much of administration work, and all those things are there. So we have this training. I remember, you see, in 1971, when we went out for the first, to establish foreign service, godly service outside India, Baba came down specially, and he gave us special murli, and those five or six of us were there, you see, he gave us full training. That, yes, children, I am sending you outside India. Don't worry about finance. I said, what about money? He said, don't worry. You are going there to give. Your hand should be like this. He is actually practically demonstrated, gave us training that your hand should be like this. Your hand should not be like this. You are not going for begging. You are going to give message. You are my messenger's children. And he said that he has made everything ready. He has kept everything ready. And he gave us symbolic training that to switch on the lights, you have to put in little effort. He said, even that much effort also you will not be required to put on. Everything is ready. You will get everything ready-made. He has made everything ready for us. And you have to establish one center in the east and the one center in the west. And this is what we did. We established center in London and we established center in Hong Kong. One in the east and one in the west. So he gave us full training, experience. The one I remember, you see, in New York, we got one house free of charge and everything ready, including vegetables in the fridge also. And rice and wheat flour and everything was ready in that thing. Everything, the things which he said that he has kept everything ready. And nowadays also you don't get a center, everything ready, and with vegetables ready in the fridge also. We had potatoes and all those things, peas and all those things in the fridge. And that gentleman said that, yes, I am giving you everything. You see, I am going out for 3 months. I am giving you free of charge. You have to pay for your electricity bill and your telephone bill. You are not to spend anything for anything else. So like that, you see, he kept everything ready for us like that. Physical aspect of the new world. Because the physical aspect will be governed by 5 elements of the nature. He is purifying these 5 elements of the nature in such a manner that we will not have any botheration, any problem from the nature. We will have full resources. We will not be having that problem of how to earn money for the new world. We will have sufficient resources. In fact, Baba has said that you will have much more than what you want, what you desire, what you will be expected to run your new world. And he is giving us full training. But the other day, I think I was in Australia, and one sister said that, oh, I don't like this Lakshmi Narayan. I said, why? Why you don't like Lakshmi Narayan? He said, look, so many things, you see, jewelry, these and that, and all those things, you see, it's not a simple life. All those things, I don't like these things. You see, I don't want to wear all those things, you see, so many jewels and crowns and these and that. I said, it's not like that. This is not the picture of their daily life. I gave her this example that, look, Queen of England, her photographs are there, you see, printed even on the postage stamp also of UK. Photograph with crown and everything. And photograph must have been taken when the coronation took place. But in her daily life, does she wear a crown? Many of you might be from UK or at least connected with UK. Have you seen Queen of England daily wearing crown? Or she was wearing crown on the day of her coronation. Take simple example. Many of you might be married. You were wearing either a dress of a bride or a bridegroom. Do you wear it daily or on that particular day only when the marriage took place? So like that I said, you see, I mean, this is the picture of the day on which they were They were installed as the world emperor. That means when the coronation took place, this is not their daily dress. Then she said, okay, I mean, once in a lifetime, if we have to wear like this, once in a lifetime, we have to wear the dress of a bride or a bridegroom, that's all right. But not daily. And do you expect to wear the dress of a bridegroom in case of brothers or in case of a sisters of a bride daily? Then it's impossible. You cannot have a daily routine life. So this is how, you see, Baba is giving us training. And this is required, you see, in order to have 100% perfect godly kingdom of the new world. That, you see, the training is required. And all the Babas, look at Babas. I have written articles on this subject. Baba's capitalism, Baba's socialism, Baba's communism, and Baba's dictatorism also. Baba is the greatest dictator. Unlike Hitler or Stalin or any other dictator, Saddam Hussein and all those things, you see. Baba says nothing doing, you cannot think also, you have to control your mind as per my directions. Saddam Hussein or Stalin or Hitler never gave the direction to his people that I will be controlling even your thoughts also. Baba says nothing doing. Manmanabhava, that means your thoughts are also to be governed by me. He is the greatest dictator, but a benevolent dictator. Not like that Stalin and others. You see, I mean, what happens? That they just kill people. If you either obey me or I will kill you. Baba does not kill you. He said, okay, you see, where you will go? You will have to be here with me. If not here, then at least when you die, you see, and then at that time you will be in front of me. So he is a benevolent dictator. He is a benevolent father also. And look, his socialism also, he is giving equal opportunity to each one of us. Equal opportunity. He has never said that those who came in the beginning from 1937, they only will be the rulers of the new world. Have we ever found anywhere in any of these Murlis that those who became, those who were founders from 1937, they only will be? He says nothing doing. Those who deserve. And Baba has said, last so fast and fast so first. Like that, you see, he is giving us training. And so there is no reservation of seats for the seniors and all those things. Everybody is having equal opportunity. Now it is up to us to grab and accept this opportunity of getting training also. And therefore, Baba has said that, yes, those who will be my legal heirs, you see, heirs means those who will become successors, they will come forward and they will obtain training also of how to administer this institution. And ultimately, this is a macro and micro, you know, macro and micro, you see. It is just, for example, a slide of 35 millimeter. And then on this screen, you get the full picture. Like that, this confluence age is the macro, it's a small one, 35 millimeter slide. And then the projection on the world stage of 5,000 years. So the shooting is taking place. And it is up to us to accept this challenge of the new world. How to get training. He is here to train us. Many of, and look at the sisters also. In foreign countries, outside India, you see what happens. Sisters, they earn also and then learn also. Those who are in charge of centers, they will understand the difference between the worldly life outside, as an outsider, and worldly life in the center in charge, as a center in charge. I remember once I was in Auckland, and the brother in charge, you see, of the center, you see, he got up early in the morning at 3:30. I said, what are you doing, brother? He said, he had one book in his one hand, and the other one, you see, he was cooking something. So I asked him, what are you doing? He said, I am cooking. I am learning how to cook. I said, why? He said, today is Thursday. I have to cook for Baba. So he had a book in his present, a recipe book, and then he was cooking. Look, that much training, you see, is Baba is giving. Otherwise, what will happen? In the world, in any family, have you ever found anybody in the morning getting up at 3:30 and cooking, you see, a bhog for the Thursday? So right from A to Z, he is giving us training for everything, so that we are masters of how to face each and every situation. In the beginning, we used to ask so many questions to Baba, and then Baba used to reply freely. Now, Dadi has also prescribed things that no questions to be asked directly to Baba. All questions to be routine and channelized through Dadis, so that you see, and Dadi Gulzar's time is not wasted. And we also now do not ask so many questions. Well, whoever is in charge of whatever department or whichever center he or she is in charge, well, Baba is, he has said also in one of his Advaita Mullis that he has appointed all of you, those who are in center in charge, as his managers. And he is from the above, as looking at all those centers, and he is trying to find out who is a good manager and who takes up the challenge of administering and managing his or her center nicely. Outside India, it's a good chance for brothers also, that brothers can become center in charge. In India, I think brothers are not that lucky that they can become center in charge. They can stay in the center, but the work of administering and managing centers is in the hands of sisters. And therefore, I always tell jokingly that many of our center in charge sisters, for the whole kalpa, they were having male body, and they had ruled the families and the world also as a male in charge. And then in the confluence age, they become sisters. So all throughout the kalpa of 84 births, they were in charge of administrations. And some of my poor brothers like me, you see, and they were sisters all throughout the kalpa. And then in this confluence age, they became brothers. So they do not have that full experience of administering the centers and all those things. Outside India, brothers are lucky that they become center in charge, and others also. We have this, brothers have in India the role of a guard and not the role of an engine. Anyway, this is, I'm just joking. I was just telling you that look at the socialism of Baba, that he is giving equal opportunity to all of us. At the same time, he has prescribed another golden principle, that he gives equal opportunity to each one of us. But at the same time, he says that golden opportunity will not repeat. Once you will be given chance, but if you do not accept that opportunity at that particular moment, then that opportunity will not be given. And he is giving us these opportunities for building our own future. Once what happened that we had problems in one center. So I was sent by Dadi to go there and find out the problem and give them some solution and come back after understanding the problem. When I went there, I found that the students there, you see, were in a fighting mood. They were not accepting the disciplines and all those things, you see. And then they threatened that we may go on strike. We will boycott this center. We will not attend this center and all those things. So when I came back, I told Dadi that this is the situation in that particular center. Dadi said that you tell these things to Avyakta Baba. Avyakta Baba was to come next day. So Avyakta Baba Dada came down next day, and I told Baba that in this particular center we have this problem and they might go on strike. What is the solution? Give me your reply. Baba said that I don't want any of you. I am that powerful and that capable that I can re-establish the new world. I can transform this old world into the new world. I don't want your help. And why should I take your help? I gave you 100% perfect new world. And what happened? I did not interfere in your administration for 5,000 years. And what happened? You converted that 100% perfect heavenly world into, at the end of the 83rd birth, what happened? You converted into hell. So how can I trust you? But therefore I don't want your help. If those students want to go on strike, they let them go on strike. I don't want. But I am keeping you in front because I want to train you so that you can build your own future. And you only, by building your own future, some of you will become the masters of the new world. Some of you will be ordinary people, ordinary citizens of the new world. The entire divine family, entire worldly family also of the new family, new world, is now being recasted. You know, in a cinema also, when you are shooting a cinema, then you find out who will be the hero, heroine and all those things. Those will be others are playing ordinary role and all those things. Like that, the shooting is taking place. And it is up to us to accept which particular challenge and to accept which particular role. We all have our own limitations, our own problems, but some of us cross those problems. Some of them may not have that much, that strength, the willingness to cross those problems, hurdles, and they become victims of those problems. With the result, what happens? That they do not come forward and therefore they do not get training. Training is absolutely essential. Management, golden age management. I am looking objectively at how, you see, dadis, they have developed also their ability to administer and manage, yes, everything. Because Dadi Prakashmani was our teacher in Bombay from 63 to 68. In 68, November only, 68, October, I wrote to Brahma Baba, that Brahma Baba, you see, you have appointed Dadi Prakashmani as administrative head. But she is head of our one center only, Gamdevi Center in Bombay. She is not coming to Mount Abu. She is not getting training from you to how to administer this this institution. She must have experience and guidance from you. You must guide her. So Baba said, but how can I, Didi is here, so how can I invite her also, because I don't require both of them here. Then Baba said, okay, I will plan. And then Baba sent Didi Manmohini on a tour of all the centers, and Dadi Prakashmani was brought to Bombay, from Bombay to Abu. And October, in October 15th or 18th of October, she was here, and till December. And then in December she went there, and then suddenly this family of Dada Ram was to come, and Baba called her. But in those 2 months, Baba gave her full instructions of how she has to administer this new institution. And I have seen that transformation of her as an administrator of a center into the administrator of the entire institution. It requires lots of guts and capacity and ability also. Very first problem, I tell you, very first problem. Once when Brahma Baba left his body, then we all had taken our photographs with Brahma Baba's body. And one photographer, you see, one military photographer, you see, he used to take photographs of all those, you see, all those who were there, you see. I mean, we all wanted our last and parting photograph with Brahma Baba's body. So many of us had Brahma Baba's head in our lap, you see, and the photograph was taken like that. He must have taken photograph of about 300, 400 people. And then what happened? And that was the first obstacle that Dadi Prakashmani, as the administrative head, after Brahma Baba becoming avyakta, the sea faced. And then that fellow gentleman said that, now I have got these photographs of each one of you taking Brahma Baba in their own lap, And I will send it to all the newspapers and look how these people, you see, they are behaving with the body of the Brahma Baba and this and that. He created this problem. He said, otherwise, you see, I am giving me 500,000, 600,000 rupees and all those things. He demanded a huge amount. He was threatening us. So I was looking objectively that, look, let me see how Dadi Prakash Mani handles this situation. She handled it perfectly, nicely, in such a nice manner, that gentleman, you see, not only he did not demand anything, but he did this photography also free of charge. And this is going to happen in the golden age, that there we will not be having use of military power. We'll be having, whether we will have military power there in the golden age. No military power, no police power, no jails, no prisons, nothing. And even then, the family will have 100% lawful administration. We will all have respect. There will not be any jealousy and all those things. Somebody asked me that why in the golden age we will not be having jealousy of the king and queen. In the modern world, how? Look, a poor person. A poor person is having jealousy of a rich person. That, look, he is rich and this and that and all those things. He is having a jealousy of rich people. But in the golden age, ordinary people will not have jealousy of the king and queen and all those things. In fact, they will have 100% royalty and respect and regard for the king and queen and all those things. Because we know that, now we know that, and this is becoming our sanskar, that we all have equal opportunities, but we did not rise to the occasion. And we did not rise to the occasion, and therefore we failed in our training. We did not take proper training and experience and all those things. With the result, those who got better training, those who trained themselves, they became in charge of the new world and administration of the new world. So this is what Baba is giving us at the moment, the training of how to train ourselves. Question is that he is prepared to give us training. Question is not his training, but question is our accepting this training from Brahma Baba, from the Divine Family, from Shri Baba. And if we slowly and slowly accept a small role of a center in charge, then what happens? And then if you develop godly service, then manage everything, then what happens? I have seen objectively Dadi Janki also. Objectively, I am telling you. She was sick. She was suffering from sciatica in Pune. And I had gone there to Pune, and she said, Dadi Janki told me, Ramesh, look, I am suffering. I can't do any godly service and nothing. I am wasting my time. I don't know what to do. And I told Dadi Janki that this is the best time. This is the best time, that otherwise you will not get time, and therefore this sickness is good for you. During this period, you see, many children of Brahma Baba, that means India, from India, they have gone to foreign countries. We must widen the frontiers of this divine family. We must establish godly service outside India. And many people, you see, from Pune, you see, they have their relations outside India. So why don't you do correspondence with those brothers and sisters connected with the Laukik families of many Sindhis and others from India staying abroad? So you do correspondence, you send letters. You can write letters in English through the sister there, or letters in Sindhi and all those things. So you do write these letters. So Dadi said, yeah, that's a good thing, you see. That's a good thing, you see. Because she was having pain, sciatica pain in her legs and all those things, her hands were free. So she started writing and sending letters. With the result, what happened? That the connections were established. Connection with the mother of Sister Jayanti, Rajni, Sister Rajni. Because the mother, that means grandmother of Sister Rajni, was a student there, and she was staying in Pune. So like that, you see, letters were written. We also wrote letters. Some of the students from Bombay, They had gone to UK and other countries also. We started writing, and then we started getting replies, and the connections were established. With the result, when we in 71 went outside, out of India, you see, to establish godly service outside India, those who got sustenance in the last 2 years, they became very close associates and they gave us very good cooperation. And then in 74, I think Dadi Janki came there on 8th of January 74. I and Usha came to London on 31st because our visa for UK, 6 months visa was expiring on 31st of January, 31st of March. So we went there on 29th or 30th of March. Dadi Janki came on 8th of April. And then look how training she got. For 3 years, you see, she could not live in UK. And for 3 years, she was confined fully to the godly service of UK. And she got full training of how to handle godly service outside India. And slowly and slowly, how others also, they offered their services outside India. Look at Sister Mohini. You know Sister Mohini? She is in charge of Americas. She was in charge here in India of this center. Then I will tell you that story. Om Shanti. So I just now gave you example of Dadi Janki, that how till 7th of April 74, she was in charge of a center in Pune in Bombay, India. And then suddenly she got transformed into London, and then she accepted that opportunity. She went there, and she became in charge of the foreign service. And how nicely she has administered foreign service. So all of you are here. So I was just giving the example of Sister Mohini also. She was in charge of South Extension Center in Delhi. And that was number one center in those days, you see. See, that was number one, the biggest and the richest center in India. And she was having very comfortable position. But then suddenly she wrote letter to Dadi, that, "Oh Dadi, I am in charge of this center. I am having no problems. I am charged. This is the biggest center and all those things. But what about my progress? I want to progress further. I want to develop myself. I want to have better and new opportunities. Give me new opportunities." So her letter came here. I was here when that letter came, and Dadi gave me this letter. What to do? So we had a meeting, and in that meeting we decided that yes, she should go for foreign service. And then she went on foreign service. She joined godly service in London, in Tennyson Road. And I have literally seen her washing clothes and washing the floor and everything, washing even the utensils and everything, you see. Right from zero to hero, you see, as we call it, you see. I mean, from ordinary center in charge. Here she was in charge of the center, and there were at least 25, 30 people fully surrendered in that center, and she was in charge of the biggest center. And suddenly she accepted this transformation from this job, or from this responsibility to London. And from London she went to Guyana, and from Guyana she came down to America. And she became now, you see, RCO for America. So like that, you see, I mean, opportunities are given to everyone. And those who have accepted this opportunity and those who have started training themselves, they become perfectly future, they are capable hands, you see, at the moment and also in future also. So like that, look at Nirbhay Bhai also. Nirbhay Bhai was working in Navy and he wanted to surrender, but he could not get, he was not deciding. And then Dada Vishwakishore was in Bombay. And Dada Vishwakishore, he asked Dada Vishwakishore that, Baba, he has written letters to Baba that I want to surrender, I want to surrender, I want to surrender, but Baba is not responding. Baba is not accepting his surrender letter. And Baba is asking him to continue his job in the Indian Navy. And then Dada Vishwakishore told him that Nirvair, Brother Nirvair, you see, you will never get green signal from Baba that you have to surrender, you see. You have to jump. The river water will not invite you to come on jump, come on jump. You have to, if you want to learn swimming, then you have to jump into the river water. And then what will happen? Then the river water will help you to float and swim in the river. So like that, if you jump and say, Baba, yes, I am resigning, I am surrendering, I am surrendering, and then Baba will say, okay, then accept. Baba will accept. And so you have to accept and grab the opportunity. Then only you will be able to move forward and further in this divine family. So like that, Baba is giving us training of those who accept this opportunity and challenge. And there is one topic which we had, you see, during our jurist conference here. Change or perish. Otherwise, what happens? Look at that poem, Solomon Grundy's poem. I don't know whether you had that poem. We had in our English literature. Solomon Grundy was born Monday, Christian on Tuesday, became student on Wednesday, married on Thursday, become father and all Friday, became sick on Sunday, Saturday, died on Sunday. This is the normal story of Solomon Grundy. That is the poem. And if you have vision, then what happens? That you see, that will not be your story. You will have something wonderful to do in the world. And you must have vision and then mission also. Then only you will be having higher position in life. I had my mama, I told you in the beginning that my mama with us in our house for 18 months. So I asked mama, what was your vision before this knowledge when you were young? What was your vision? And she said, I mean, that she was, in those days, bhakti was there, you see. So she said that, you know, there is one bhakta, Meera. She took birth before about 400 years. She was a royal princess and wife, but she renounced this by her position as a princess. And she started worshipping God and she went to Mathura and other places, and all other princes and princesses are forgotten, but this name of Meera, even after 400 years, is known to all Indians. So like that, she wanted to leave a name of her footprints on the history, so that even people will remember her work even after 300, 400 years. So she had that ambition, a mission and vision. So like that, you see, Baba is asking us, each one of us, that yes, I am here to train you to be my 100% perfect heir. You get the training. I am prepared to give you training. Look, many of us are taking these challenges, particularly in the West, many sisters. I forget the name of that sister from Japan, from Australia. She went to Japan, you see. So just to accept the opportunity to establish center in Japan. The moment she established center in Japan, she withdrew from Japan. Then she went to Israel also. She has written a nice book on the yoga also. I forget the name, you see. She is from Australia. So she went to Israel and then established center in Israel. So learning and earning and establishing godly center service there also. So like that, many, Brother Lee, for example, Lee James, he also was very comfortable in Australia. And then he accepted work outside India, outside Australia, Japan and other things, so that he can establish centers there. So this spirit of adventure in the godly service, so that more and more number of sisters and brothers in the divine family, with more and more area to be covered and all those things, horizontal expansion and the vertical expansion of the institution. that is required, and we all get this type of training. Look, now also, in India, you see, Dadi is asking, today also Dadi asked that you, just now before coming here, I had a meeting with Dadi Prakash Mani. She said, we must have a big program, big festival type of program, which we had in Ahmedabad, or in Bombay, or Delhi, or Chennai, or Calcutta, like that. We should have in Jaipur, Bhopal, and in UP. Look, big programs. Why these big programs? I have written one article on this subject. The big program means you have an audience of 200,000, 300,000 in front of you. And they sit, the Vice President of India, recently you see he met one another politician. He said that he attended our big festival in Delhi. And he said that, you see, I mean, he saw that big crowd of 200, 300,000 people you see in Delhi, and each one of them observing 100% silent. He said that I have never seen in my life, he is quite aged, 83, 84, I think so. And he said that so far in his life he has never seen a big crowd of more than 200, 300,000 observing 100% silence. That's the crowd management technique of Brahma Kumaris. And I have written later an article on this, that Baba is giving us training of crowd management. You know, crowd management, from crowd management to crown management. From crowd management, because ultimately in the golden age, you have to administer the new world, the entire new world. Baba is giving us that example and experience, that yes, you have to administer this new world. Otherwise, what happens? I have written one article based on my Indian experience that India became independent in 1947. And it was a bloodless, you see, I mean, there was no bloodshed and all those things, you see, I mean, without any bloodshed, you see. And it was a sudden transfer to India. And then thereafter, because of these riots, religious riots and division of India into Pakistan and all those things, there was bloodshed. And Indian Prime Minister and Deputy Prime Minister and others, they were not in a position to administer and control these riots. At that time, Lord Mountbatten was the Viceroy of India. He was the last representative of the British rulers in India. And he was still Vice President. He was still the President of India, that means Viceroy of India, because the successors were not appointed and finalized. So Nehru and others decided to hand over full powers to Lord Mountbatten to control these riots in India. So they just passed the resolution and they went to see Viceroy Lord Mountbatten and said, come on, now please take over charge of power from us and control these riots in India. So then Lord Mountbatten told this cabinet ministers that now you have power, you have everything, all the resources are with you. You are the ministers here. You utilize your powers and administer your powers in such a manner that there is peace in India. And Nehru said, sorry, we do not have that experience of controlling crowd, controlling and managing crowd and people. Because our whole life was spent in attaining the political freedom. And so we do not have this administration capacity and all the training also. You have that thing because you were the commander-in-chief of army to fight against Japan. You know, General Eisenhower, he was in charge of combined forces to fight against Hitler and Germany and other, Italy and others there in Europe. And in Japan, that means in the Asian side, Lord Mountbatten was the commander-in-chief of the combined forces. So Nehru told him that you have this capacity, you have successfully fought Second World War, so you can control these riots in India. These things cannot and should not happen to us. If suddenly we are asked to be the masters of the new world, then Baba will not be there. To whom we can go and tell Baba that we do not have this experience? All throughout our 83rd and 84th birth, we were fighting against Maya and Maya to have spiritual liberation. And we did not have any ability and capacity and a management training to manage the new world. Because this is the training that we are getting. Look, today 20,000 people are there down below. And to administer and manage this crowd of 20,000 people, right from morning to evening and till night and all those things, it's a big challenge. And one of the chief ministers of one of the states in India, when he came to Mount Abu and saw these 20,000 people, in pin drop silence, he said that this is a miracle which only Brahma Kumaris can do. Nobody else can do, because he has seen big crowds, you see. But no, there is no discipline and all those things. Here, there is 100% discipline. And look, the distribution of work and everything in such a nice manner that Dadi Prakash Mani and others, you see, I mean, they are free. They are not having, they do not feel the bondage of the presence of 20,000 people. Look, Dadi Janki, just now also when I came, she came up to Global Hospital for medical checkup, for endoscopy. But look, work is going on, 20,000 people enjoying everything, right from morning to evening, and everything, even today's Baba's meeting, also everybody will be enjoying. So this is how the management is there, you see. Administration is there. Administration of food, finance, and everything. It's not a small thing. Abu is a far away place from the big town. Even then, to administer and to keep everybody in 100% peace and happiness is not a small joke. People, we are all here from different cultures and different countries, different backgrounds. Are we having any complaint? So this type of training which Baba is giving us, that is useful, and this is how we will be in a position to be the real heir of Baba to administer the new world. Still more, many things will come. Many more new things will slowly and slowly come. And so that what will happen? That we will be in the end 100% perfect masters in this birth, and based on this training, we'll be the 100% perfect masters of the new world. Therefore, Baba has told in one of his Avyakta Moolis that here is a college to give training to the masters of the new world. Nowhere else. Look at all those religions, look at all those political parties and everywhere else. Do they have given this type of training with this particular specific aim, that we are giving training to the new masters of the new world? Is there anybody, anywhere else, this type of aim and object right from the beginning given to any one of us? You must be having worldly experience. I have also worldly experience. From my experience, I can tell you that none of them have told us. And in fact, none of those gurus deserve to be the masters of the old, new world, or even the old world. They are the masters of their own small group of people. They do not have ability to run the world as a one world government, one world religion, one world language and all those things. We do not have problems based on language. Have we? We have translations and everything going on. Baba is speaking in Hindi. Do we object to say, Baba, you should not speak in Hindi, you must speak in English? Do we have any such objection? Baba says that I must utilize the, you must use the language of the body in which I am coming. I have seen once, one sister was telling her views to Avyakta Bab Dada. You know, Baba in those good old days beating each one of us personally. And at that particular moment there was nobody to translate views of that sister from her language into English and then into Hindi. So I was there, you see, and then Baba was listening to that sister, her views in her language. And then Baba was responding in Hindi and I was there, you see, to translate it into English and she could understand my English. And then at the end I asked her whether Baba has replied you, because what you said in your language was not conveyed to Baba in his language. But what Baba wanted to convey, that was conveyed to her in English. And she could understand. She said, Baba has given me perfect answer. So Baba can understand your language, but cannot, you see, because of the limitation of the body in which he has to come. Therefore, he cannot reply you in your language. But when you are in yoga, and when you are chit-chatting with Baba, at that time you are chit-chatting with Baba in your language. And do you not get reply in your language from Baba? I conduct experiments with Baba also. I chit-chat Baba with Baba in my language, Gujarati. And then I get reply also in my language. Because there is no limitation of body. You experiment with Baba. Yes, it's a wonderful thing, you see. I mean, to experiment with Baba. I always I write Baba's Murli in Hindi. And I started predicting that now what next word will be utilized by Baba. And then I think that he will now speak this particular word. And then I find that he is not using those words but something else. Baba is most unpredictable. Can you predict Baba? Fully. We cannot now because we have not fully understood Baba and therefore we have not 100% become like Baba. But Baba is predictable. Baba can be understood 100% in our yoga conversations with Baba. And in that, you see, it's a wonderful thing, wonderful experience to have direct chit-chat with God, the Supreme. In no other religion or no other a subdivision of any particular religion, you will have that golden opportunity of chit-chatting directly with God the Supreme, either in His corporeal form, like the time when He will be spending with us today, or in our yoga. Nowhere else. None of the preceptors, none of the gurus and others have told us how we can have direct link with God. They always ask us to go to God through them only. No, none of them have prescribed direct link with God. And therefore, we cannot become direct heirs of God in case of normal worldly religions. When we were in Japan, we had one lecture in 71. I'm just giving example of 71. And then one gentleman was Christian by religion. He said that why we should remember Sri Baba and why we should not remember Christ. I said that yes, you can remember God through Christ. Perfectly right. But then what will happen? That till the time Christ comes down on this earth, you will not be able to come because that remembrance, that authority will be a stumbling block for you. You will not be able to cross Him unless and until you cross Him in this particular birth. Otherwise, that will become your stumbling block. And as and when, after first 3,000 years of the world cycle, when He comes down before about 2,000 years, then only you will be able to come and obtain your inheritance from God through Him only, because you remembered God through Him. And in this divine knowledge, we get direct inheritance. We become direct heirs of Sri Baba, directly. And what happens? In the world also, who gets inheritance? Those who become the direct heirs of the king and queen, they only get this inheritance. This is how wonderful things are happening here. It's really wonderful. And unfortunately, my time is up, you see. Otherwise, I would have gone on, because on this subject, I have written many articles. In fact, my next article in Gyanamrut in Hindi is on this subject only, of Golden Age management, that how Baba is giving us management knowledge. You know, there is one examination in India, Master of Business Administration, MBA. Those people also, Bombay University has accepted our self-management leadership program and paper of 100 marks. The self-management, how we manage our own self, how we manage our own self to become the masters of the new world. It's a wonderful thing. And therefore, you see, today Dadi Prakash Mani had tears of joy in the morning class. She said, look how wonderful this knowledge is there. And this is how also you will also feel. You will all have tears of joy when you go into the depth of it. Many of us, you see, have superficial connection with Baba. Not that real in-depth relationship with Baba. Ask yourself this question. Are you having a real in-depth relationship with God, or it is just a superficial? In some cases, let me tell you very honestly, it is artificial relationship with God. And those who are having artificial relationship or superficial relationship with God, I can tell you very honestly and sincerely that you will not be able to become heirs of Sri Baba as the masters of the new world. You will be there as the citizens of the new world, but not the masters of this new world. Transform yourself in such a manner that you can become, not now only, but in the golden age also, the masters of this new world. Once what happened, Brahma Baba asked this question, that you will like to become, in the class you see, he asked, you will like to become Lakshmi Narayan or Ram Sita, what you will like to become. So everybody raised hand in that they will become, like to become Lakshmi Narayan. And then when he asked this question, that how many of you will like to become Ram Sita, except I raised my hand in Lakshmi Narayan also, and I also raised my hand in Lakshmi Ram Sita also. So Baba asked me that, you also want to become Ram Sita also? I said, why not? I want to become in the golden age Lakshmi Narayan, and in the silver age, I want to become Ram Sita. Why not? Why not to have that fortune also? Because that is the highest fortune in the silver age. Accept that fortune also. Why reject that thing? Baba said, but everybody is not accepting. I said, let them reject that highest fortune of the silver age. I want to grab both. I want to accept both the highest fortune of the golden age and also of the silver age. Baba said, that's the correct answer. Many of us, otherwise what happens? That they say that, yes, I want to become Lakshmi Narayan, but I don't want to become Ram Sita. I said, we want both. It is not a question of either or. It's a question of, I said, Baba, to me it's a question that to become both. In the golden age, Lakshmi Narayan. And in the silver age, Ram Sita. Ram Sita is a, Rama is a historic figure, you see. In Moses' case, you see, his brother was Ramse. And his temple is there also on the bank of River Nile also. Or even in Tigris, on the River Tigris also, that temple is there. So, I mean, look at the beauty of this knowledge and beauty of this training. Then we realize that, Baba, you are creating all of us as your the future heirs of this new world, the future masters of this new world. Is it not wonderful? Thank you. Om Shanti.